How's it going, everybody? This is me again, your host, Chewy, and I want to welcome you all to another installment of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am joined finally after like a long hiatus by
Long
my good friend Monica.
eternal.
How's it been, Monica?
Hi. Yeah,
It was like what, like 2 3 weeks that we didn't talk to each other? Ish.
it was 2 weeks, no? Was it
Yeah,
just 2 weeks?
roughly something like that. And it's
But
because
Chewie thinks it's been an eternity, you know?
I feel like it's been forever. Well, yeah, because and once again, just to like recap, we had to do our episodes a little bit ahead of time and out of sequence because of the whole medical thing and also the holidays. We wanted some time to enjoy with our families and just kind of like chill and not have to work on this, so we had to kind of do that, rush everything for a couple of weeks. But I feel like we recharge our batteries. I feel ready for this, bring it on. Yeah, it's been a while. And just on a personal note, real quick, Thanksgiving was a little weird. It was just, three people, my parents and myself. So it was. We still have turkey left over, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
It's been over a week already, and there's turkey, like, because my mom, being the, a Mexican mom, is mode is like, there's five people in the house, so you gotta make food for 40.
Exactly. I'm like that too, and that got passed down to me.
So she got the biggest turkey ever. That she looks like a freaking ostrich.
Wow.
It looked like humongous, dude. And then of course like all the stuffing and everything and the sides. So we were like, when we finished eating, like maybe like a fourth of the turkey was gone.
Damn.
So we've been eating, like, chipping away at it over the past week or so, and we still have like a breast left, it's like, oh my God, like when is this gonna be
Damn.
over?
Turkey again?
Yeah.
Jesus.
But to her credit, or I don't know what to say, she also made tamales, so
You know what? That's what I need to do. I've been wanting to make tamales, and I had made the meat, dude. I spent an entire day cooking the beef, or no, the pork, because I was gonna make spicy pork, right? And at the end of the day, I didn't even make the freaking tamales. Like, I put the meat away, and then I was like, oh, I'll make it tomorrow. It's because I didn't have time, right? And then that day came, and I didn't do anything with it, and I'm like, I need to like cook, I mean, make it with something, because if not, it's gonna go bad. And then all of those like hours that I spent cooking this freaking meat, like, is gonna be a waste, right? So I ended up just making like teriyaki pork, just so that the meat wouldn't go bad. And then I never made the freaking tamales, and I'm like, well, what meat am I gonna use? I still have turkey. I should probably make turkey tamales. That's a good idea. Not bad.
I've never tried those, but that sounds like it could work.
Maybe. I mean, I just need to make it a little, put some chile de color,
Yeah, that's the way to
But
go.
yeah, I think I'm gonna try that, because I still have another container full of turkey meat, and I don't want to eat it with sides anymore. Like, I'm tired of it. So maybe I should make it into tamales.
Now that we got that out of our system. Reminder to our listeners, of course, we have our Facebook account as Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. We have our Instagram as Myths Behind LGDS.
Our Twitter is the same as the Instagram, Myths Behind LGDS, and you can also email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
And the Linktree account is the same thing, Myths Behind LGDS. You're gonna find a whole bunch of cool links there, the YouTube playlist, which has now grown to about 100 songs. It's gonna have, like, of course, heavy metal music, that's like horror themed or sounds like scary. Movie themes, like soundtrack, from the Jaws movie, Halloween, etc. All those famous little jingles are there. The Exorcist, there's a whole bunch of video game music there, mostly Castlevania, because that's like all like the most popular horror games are from that franchise, so I have like 30 Castlevania songs there, but they're like a minute long, so it's like, and yeah, so that'll be there, some other related content as well. I made a playlist for some of the stuff we talked about in previous episodes, and I'm gonna keep adding stuff there as we go along. Right now I think there's only like four or five videos there, but I want to add more. That's not made by us, it's from other people. but it's related to whatever we've been talking about, you know, like the I have videos on the Mexican ghost people encounters, whatever. Those are there. I found a video about El Silbón that's like 3 or 4 minutes long, kind of describing the legend real quick. That one's in English, you know, because we, you know, it's kind of like a Latin American legend, but that one's in English, so our English-speaking people in Ireland can understand. And we have a website now, finally.
Yay.
I'm still working on that, but it's already been released right now. There's a few links there here. You know, kind of just a quick, short overview of what it is that we're about. Some external links to some of the things that we talked about. So, let's say, for example, you want more information on the Castlevania episode. I have something there about vampires and stuff like that, you know, like links to stuff like that. On the one from the Medium, I found this website, and I hope I'm not being flagged by the CIA. Because
What?
it's like a CIA website where there's like this document that was scanned, and it's like the guidelines for the CIA whenever they hire a medium to do psychic police work, you know? So that's kind of an interesting read because it's supposedly an official document, you know? I don't know if it is or not, but I linked that there is. Anyways, there's a picture gallery in the website also. There's a, you know, of course, our anchor website. I'm hoping that once we get things going, we may have like a link to purchase merchandise there. So I ordered some pics with our logo, but they have not come in yet, unfortunately. I was hoping they would come in today and I could show them off, but sadly, no. But anyways, just a couple of details on what we're talking about, Monica. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about Wendigos.
Chan chan chan.
So Wendigos, they're like Native American lore, I think, right? And I'm reading here on Wikipedia, you know, the best website.
The most reliable source of all.
So it says that they're often described as giants that are many times larger than human beings, a characteristic absent from myths in Algonquian cultures. So it says that whenever Wendigo ate another person, it would grow in proportion to the meal it had just eaten, so it could never be full. Therefore, Wendigos are portrayed as simultaneously gluttonous and extremely thin due to starvation. And so it is said that the Wendigo is seen as the embodiment of gluttony, greed, and excess. Never satisfied after killing and consuming one person, they are constantly searching for new victims.
Chan chan chan. All right, that's the sounds interesting and intriguing. So we'll be right back with more information on the Wendigos. Okay, Monica, so you already kind of gave us some quick details on what a Wendigo is according to Native American legend. Yeah, and there are a few interpretations from what I'm aware. I found a couple of things that are different depending on which region or tribe you're looking into when it comes to information on this. I want to start right off with this quote. By the way, all my information that I'll be discussing for the most part came from one single website. I mean, it was pretty detailed, so I figured, well, I'm just gonna like not plagiarize this, but you know, I'll give them credit because that's they did all the research basically. I'm just kind of repeating what they said and what. Anyways, this is from legendsofamerica.com, and this quote was on there, and I want to read it just to kind of get the mood, you know, set the mood for this. So this is from Basil Johnston. He was a teacher and a scholar from Ontario, Canada. I'm not aware if he's still alive or not, but if he is, you know, he's still out there. So anyways, I'm gonna go into my best narrating voice for this. The Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emaciation, its desiccated skin pulled tautly over its bones. With its bones pushing out against its skin, its complexion the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into their sockets, the Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody. Its body was unclean and suffering from suppurations of the flesh. giving off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. Oh, I could see you holding back your laughter on that.
I turned off my mic for a little bit because my dog is going crazy out there, like, barking, and I don't know if he's, like, like, amused by your...
Oh, okay.
By your reading voice, or if he's like, oh my god, I'm scared.
I have a fan
that
of your dog.
Good, though. That was good. Congratulations. That was...
Thank you. I hope that I one day can, you know, do voice work.
You should be in one of those, what are those people called?
Voice actors.
Yeah, voice actors. Yeah.
I mean, I still need to work on that, of course. I mean, I'm not a professional, but one day at a time.
I think you got it. I think you can do it. You know, I believe it.
You know, I think Morgan Freeman became an actor in his like late 40s or 50s, you know?
Uh-huh.
Or whatever. So he was like, from what I understand, he was like a mechanic or something like that, some sort of trade laborer like that. And he became an actor, I think, towards middle age, you know, and now he's like one of the most famous voices of all mankind, so.
Got an amazing voice. Beautiful voice.
I think I'm going to follow in his footsteps, my friend.
Do it. I support.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I felt like that was a kind of like, I mean, I got that quote from that website, but I felt like it kind of deserved its own little vibe narration for it.
Yeah.
So essentially, yeah, like you mentioned, this creature is depicted as, you know, again, like this quote described, skinny and like tall and always hungry, and you know, it kind of reminds me of a zombie in a sense.
Yeah.
In the sense that it comes back from the, or it seems like it comes back from the dead, or it smells of death and decay, and it feasts on human flesh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never
satisfied.
Yeah, it's never satisfied, because based on what you said, this thing apparently grows in proportion to whatever it eats, so it's always hungry, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So according to this website, you know, this creature is sighted most frequently in the north woods of Minnesota.
Yes.
The forests of the Great Lake region. The Great Lakes, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And some parts of Canada as well.
Uh-huh.
So depending, again, on whoever you may be asking, this creature may also appear as a monster with human characteristics.
Yeah.
You know, it may look more human than monster-like, but it's also, I mean, regardless of who you're asking, always associated with eating flesh, you know, murdering people, like insatiable hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's got a couple of different spellings to its name, you know. It's called Wetigo in some regions, Wetiko in other regions. But roughly all these variations translate to the evil spirit that devours mankind.
Yes.
All right, so some of the tribes that have described in their accounts the sightings of this creature would be the Algonquian Ojibwe, the Eastern Cree. I'm hope I'm saying this correctly, by the way. I mean, no disrespect, you know, if I'm mispronouncing some of this. So yeah, the Algonquian Ojibwe, the Eastern Cree, the Salto, the West Main Swampy Cree, the Naskapi, and the Innu. And they describe them as giants, many times larger than human beings. And although there's, again, variations, you know, there's always another component that they mention is the north, you know, winter, coldness, you know, etc. You know, so it's associated with, like, snow and ice and, you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So what do you think so far?
I mean, I've heard of these, well... The reason I know about Wendigos is because I watch Supernatural. And there's an episode where they cover that. But I've also heard other stories, like, so on TikTok University, as many, many people have, you know, have already subscribed. So there's been videos on there that there's people who have, I guess, like, they live, like, in, like, the outskirts of town or something. And I'm not sure if it's in that region and, like, near Mississippi or like where, but for sure it's like it has to do with like they're close to somewhere where it's like native land or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or native protected land, but they hear something calling out their name or calling out to them or whistling, and the idea is that like if you hear the whistle, you're not supposed to whistle back, and if you hear it and it's like supposedly this doesn't make sense, because I've heard that if you hear it and it's far away, it means that it's too late for you to escape.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, wouldn't it make more sense if it was closer to you? But I don't know. So there's people who have actually recorded seeing something, you know, like hiding behind the bushes and walking like in a really weird way where it's like it's not human-like. It's like very like it's creepy, you know? So that's kind of what like brought back the my remembering of the Wendigos. Like I saw it on TikTok and then I was like, oh wait, I've heard about this stuff on Supernatural. And then that's why I was like, okay, we should probably do something like this because they basically just they're cannibals, you know? They feed on human flesh and they're very greedy apparently and never satisfied, and they're found like typically like in the woods, like deep in the woods.
And I was wondering, like, I was gonna ask you actually, but now you've clarified that for me and the audience. What prompted you to suggest this topic?
Yeah, TikTok.
So I was thinking, like, oh, maybe, you know, some intellectual curiosity on the part of my colleague here. But it's
TikTok,
just TikTok.
do it.
No, because, like, it's something that it's not very common to our part of
Yeah,
the
no.
country, you know, South Texas. You know, we have other creatures and ghosts that we
Yeah, we have the Chupacabra and the Llorona and, you know, all those other ones.
And that's why our logo is a little Chupacabra Cholo character.
Yes. Yeah. Cholo Chupacabra, you know, tagging up the walls as he does.
You know, there's like I said, different like descriptions of this. You know, other tribes describe it as being a giant with a heart of ice, or
Wow.
sometimes it's completely made of ice. You know, its body and everything is like an ice creature. You know, like made completely of ice, according to some accounts. Sometimes its body is described as being like skeleton-like and with deformities in it. It's missing its lips and it's missing its toes and its feet. Some people say that it's as tall as a tree. Some people say it's more, again, human-like. So basically, depending on who you ask, it's gonna be the way they describe this to you. So, you mentioned the component of greediness. I don't know if I had mentioned that already, but basically, there's a couple of ways from what I found in which a person can become a Wendigo. Sometimes if a person is really greedy and like all they want is like money and material possessions, stuff like that, sometimes the Wendigo spirit can come and possess them, which will over time transform them into a Wendigo creature. They'll lose their humanity completely and they'll become this monster. The other way that a person could become a Wendigo is if they resort to cannibalism.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading here.
There's a movie that I wanted to talk to you about, and I was gonna suggest it for this episode. Instead of doing this description of the Wendigo, I was gonna suggest to the film. But I think we can do that later because it's not completely based on the Wendigo mythology. It's mentioned, but there's other stuff in that movie as well. The movie's called Ravenous, by the way.
Ravenous?
Yeah, Ravenous. I believe it's set sometime in the Civil War, that time period, and it's got to do with soldiers. Like they're kind of stationed in this fort, and it's really cold and winter-like. And from what I remember, I saw this movie when it came out, you know, like 20 years ago, whatever.
Dang.
And I think I've only seen it once after that. But I mean, that's one of the movies that I would like to do in the future, maybe.
I'm down.
And
Yeah,
maybe.
and I see that here, like, so I'm reading Wikipedia, and it says that there's ways that humans can turn into Wendigos, like you mentioned earlier. So it says that in some traditions, humans are overpowered by greed and can turn into Wendigos, and then the myth served as a method of encouraging cooperation and moderation. And then others say that Wendigos, when created, were created when a human resorted to cannibalism to survive. So they could also turn into Wendigos by being in contact with them for too long. So I'm guessing that that would be like the possession type of thing, like, you know, like if they come in contact with them and they're there, then they can possess them.
Yeah, I guess like slowly over time, you know, they can
Right.
lose their humanity. Some of the skills that this creature is described as having, stealth.
Okay.
It knows and uses its territory to its advantage, like any good hunter would. And apparently sometimes it's mentioned that it can control the weather through the use of dark magic.
Whoa.
So this guy is like, he might have a a weather machine hiding in the forest somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I guess to kind of disorient people, you know, or make them, you know, weak, whatever, so then he can move in for the kill. They're cursed forever to wander the land, so they can't ever have any respite or any breaks.
Yeah.
And basically, some people say that if it doesn't eat for a certain amount of time, it actually starves and dies.
That makes, well, yeah.
Yeah, because Wendigos are not immortal.
I mentioned that, like, I had seen this in an episode of Supernatural, right? And there, well, they mentioned that some people in some cultures eat human flesh because they believe that it gives them strength, speed, and immortality. So, I mean, I don't know if that, if, I mean, obviously, if you eat human meat, you're probably gonna get messed up because you're not supposed to be eating human meat. That I think there's like a, there's people who actually do that and they end up with like arthritis and like these weird conditions, and they end up dying early because like there's something in the meat, like human meat, that like messes with your body because you're not supposed to be consuming that, you know? Technically, you shouldn't even be consuming like animal meat, but you know, we still do that. That's why people get freaking like heart problems and because of all the cholesterol.
Yeah, I mean that's gonna be kind of like the descriptions that I found of this thing. Do you have anything more to add, Monica, before we move on to the academic segment?
I mean, we can talk about the episode and that. So I'm not exactly sure what number episode it is, but the episode itself is called Wendigo, and it's from Supernatural from season one. And it basically, like we said, I think we you defined it earlier or said what Wendigo means is like evil that devours. So they said that each one was once a man. They find themselves starving due to harsh woods. They turn to cannibalism. And in some cultures, which I said before, they believe that eating human flesh gives people abilities such as speed, strength, and immortality. And if you eat enough of it, you become less than human and you're always hungry. They also said that Wendigos tend to hibernate, and it keeps its victims alive so that it can feed whenever it wants. And the only way to stop it, because apparently knives and guns don't do anything to it. And I'm guessing it's because like the whole immortality thing and the strength is the way, only way to kill a Wendigo is to basically torch it, light it on fire, and like let it burn until it dies.
So
So
roasted Wendigo.
if anybody encounters a Wendigo, torch it, light it on fire.
Always
That's what.
carry a Molotov cocktail in your backpack,
Yes,
guys.
or you know, just a torch and a freaking. Bottle of hairspray and just, you know, go crazy. This is, you know, information, valuable information from the Winchester brothers. You know, for anybody out there who's a Supernatural fan, there you go. You should already know this, but yeah.
Yeah, that's really dependable information there, my friend.
Well, find yourself next to a Wendigo, just torch it.
All right, so having said all that, we're gonna take a little break and come back for the academic segment where we're gonna talk about a specific condition resulting from exposure or hanging out with a Wendigo too much.
Ooh, and I'm gonna get a snack.
All right, Monica, so for the academic segment today, we are describing a condition, like I mentioned earlier in the episode, that comes to be as a result of hanging out with Wendigos too much. Guess what this condition is called?
I don't know. Hanging out with the wrong crowd. I
It is called Wendigo-itis. No, just kidding. It's not called Wendigo-itis.
That makes sense, though. Way better than what I said.
It's called Wendigo psychosis,
Okay.
basically. And, you know, I was surprised to read about this because I had never heard of this before. And me being a psychology major, of course, you know, I'm
I knew
deeply.
you were gonna bring that up. I was waiting for like
the college link. I went to college, guys. Okay, I'm smart.
Yes,
Well,
it is. No.
I like to think that I'm smart, but anyways, some people will dispute that fact, my friend. So yeah, basically the Wendigo psychosis. It's been suggested, but it has not been confirmed or included in the official guideline of psychiatry and psychology, which is the DSM-5 as of this podcast release. Basically, it's a syndrome that affects people in a couple of different ways. So basically, it either creates an intense craving for human flesh and fear of becoming a cannibal, or it makes you delusional and believing that people around you are Wendigos and you are driven to kill them.
Jesus.
So,
What a nice excuse to kill people and try to get away with it.
can you imagine? Like
I
that defense
can.
being used in like a trial, like, hey, this guy was a clear Wendigo, Your Honor. I mean, I had to, you know what?
To do it, had to do
Like,
it.
innocent.
Saving time.
I mean, seriously, like, this appears to be more common, oddly enough, in the regions where the Wendigo is sighted, of course. So basically, there's been a couple of cases that are really kind of well documented. And again, I was really surprised to read about this because I had never heard of this condition or this happening. One of them is like a diary entry from some sort of like a religious missionary or something like that. And I'm gonna summarize it because it's kind of a long quote, so I'm not gonna do my Morgan Freeman voice right now. I'm just gonna like kind of synthesize this paragraph into a couple of sentences real quick. Basically, they're concerned about the intelligence of the men that in the lake or in that region where they're living or where this person is writing, because the man this person writes, they're seized with an ailment that's not familiar to them. They're suffering from symptoms that are relatable to hypochondria, a frenzy, but there's nothing medically wrong with them, kind of. But apparently, it's making them ravenous for human flesh. They're acting like werewolves, and they're devouring people voraciously.
Whoa.
This person actually says that they saw somebody attack another person. And this is back in 1661, by the way.
This happened in 1661.
Yeah, this account that I'm describing real quick, because it's like a paragraph, but I'm kind of just like skimming it real quick and like kind of trying to summarize it in a couple sentences. But yeah, this account is from reportedly from 1661.
Damn.
So as far back as like year, there's kind of like the Wendigo legend was already kind of like affecting people in some way. Another the case that's a little bit better documented because it's more recent. It happened in the 1870s. A Native American hunter by the name of Swift Runner, his son died of starvation, and this guy ate his son. And then after that, not only was he like inclined to do that, he was also inclined to kill the rest of his family and also eat them.
Jesus.
So he killed his wife and other people that lived with him in his family. Eventually they caught him and he was executed. I'm not sure how old the son was. It doesn't mention that in this account. But he consumed the body to sustain himself, which is kind of like disgusting and already in its own way, like gruesome.
Yeah, it's your kid, dude.
Another case, this one was the other variation. This guy's name is Jack Fiddler, who is also a Native American, but this guy was a medicine man, kind of like a witch doctor kind of thing. And he claimed to have defeated slash killed 14 Wendigos in his lifetime.
Wow.
He reports that these creatures were sent his way by enemy shamans and people that were affected in his own tribe by these disease, so he took it upon himself to kill them. He saw his brother be killed by somebody else after he turned into a Wendigo. So then him, you know, Jack Fiddler, this person, was arrested in 1907 in Canada. And another brother named Joseph, not the one that got killed by somebody else, like a different brother. So they were arrested because, you know, there was reports of these guys going around killing people because they claimed to be ridding the world of Wendigos. So eventually the authorities caught up with him and his other brother. They were trying them for murder, but this guy, instead of dealing with that, he committed suicide in jail. Rather than deal with being executed also for killing people that he claimed were Wendigos. So he committed suicide, but his brother was pardoned eventually after spending a long time in jail. But the sad, or I don't know what the word is, ironic, I guess.
The irony?
His brother Joseph, he was pardoned, but he died before he was given the pardon.
How? Does it say how?
It says that he died in jail, but they don't say how.
What?
So the pardon was already, like, you know, in the process of being issued, you know, but he can't be pardoned until he receives it. So it was on the way to him, but he died.
Damn.
3 days before the pardon got to him, so, you know,
That's crazy.
So, what do you think of all this? What do you think of people being affected in these two different ways? Like, you can either claim to become a Wendigo yourself, or you can claim to be killing them because, you know, that's, like, your mission in life or whatever.
I mean, it just makes you think of, like, let's say the supernatural show is real. These guys are out here killing creatures. I'm surprised there hasn't been an episode where, or maybe there has been, where they go to jail and get, like, put on trial for killing these things that supposedly are, like, monsters. I mean, it's crazy, like, but I mean, if this stuff has been going on for so long, you know, who knows? Who's to say that it's not real? I mean, these people supposedly know, can tell when it's a Wendigo or not. Maybe they were doing good.
Yeah, so now that we covered all that, the next segment is going to be our musical segment, and I have a special surprise for you guys out there. So yeah, stick around for that.
Enjoy!
Alright, Monica, so I had a little surprise, again, planned for our audience. Like in the Silvón Legend episode that we did, I thought I would do a song for this one. So, I'm not gonna, like, again, not gonna describe the theory of this too much, because I feel like there's people that can do a better job at that than I do. But I have an idea for this song, you know, based on everything that we talked about so far. It's gonna be like a heavy metal type of song, you know, where, like, I thought of starting with, like, and I found this really cool sample, by the way, online, of, like, some, like, it sounds like a Native American instrument, like a little wind flute. So I found that online, and I'm gonna use that in my song. Of course, I'll give credit to the person, you know. But it's gonna be, like, kind of, like, you know, really, like, relaxing and, like, living your best life, kind of, like, little flute in the wilderness, kind of, like, you know, nature noises, like birds and everything.
Okay.
And then, you know, they're gonna do like a little jam, whatever, like a little relaxing jam. So it's gonna make you think that you're like in Bambi territory.
And then the Wendigo comes out and kills
them. It's kind of like eat them.
All right, good. I'm down.
Some people say that it screams like high pitch, like but scary. That was weird.
It's kind of like like a scared sheep.
Kind of like a rat. So like some sort of like scared rodent, you know?
A possum. Scared possum. Stop watching.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, high pitched like that, but better than that, you know? Scarier. That was, if I heard that in the forest, I'd probably laugh. But my version of the Wendigo was gonna growl, kind of like aggressively. And I'm gonna like base this song off of the harmonic minor scale, which is kind of like this harmonic minor thing is just really quick. It's a scale that's commonly used, excuse me, in classical music. This is the scale right now. I'm gonna play it, and it's gonna sound a little weird. Hopefully, the camera catches this. If not, I'll just edit the sound in. So essentially, actually, it's the harmonic minor from in the key of D, but it's more based on the A phrygian dominant, which is like one of the related scales to this, or modes rather. Like I said, there's people that can explain this a lot better than I can. So I know how to play it, but I don't know how to explain it. Let's just put it that way. So anyways, this is gonna be the A phrygian dominant. By the way, I'm playing this on a 7-string guitar, like distorted guitar, and it's gonna be tuned down a whole step, so it's gonna be heavier and like
Okay.
more menacing, you know? So essentially, the scale that I'm gonna be using for this would be the A phrygian dominant, which would be.
Oh.
That sounds a
Years,
little menacing,
yes.
right? So.
Oh.
It's gonna be based off of that kind of like little thing, but the riffing, I'm just gonna play like a little excerpt of this real quick. And after we're done with this little discussion, I'm gonna play the actual finished song. I'm still working on it, but it'll be finished by the time that we publish the episode. So basically, like I said, it's gonna be all like, you know, that remember the episode from the Looney Tunes where like they're like in the farm, whatever, and it's like the da 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 da, that really like relaxing music, you know, like.
Okay, yeah.
It's like the morning, and the dog's guarding the sheep, and the coyote's gonna eat it, whatever. That little song, it's gonna be that same kind of vibe, you know, where it's kind of like all like relaxing and like. And then it's gonna be all like.
Here.
It sounds kind of like, oh crap, you know, like.
Tengo miedo.
En este momento tengo miedo.
Exactly.
This is where the audience is like, what?
Well, you gotta be from the RGB to get
Yeah,
that
this is a meme from like, what, 10 years ago, whatever.
one.
Yeah, the origin of which, by the way, is because like this Mexican politician was afraid of getting, like, he was getting arrested for being a crook, you know, whatever, and he's like, well, they're gonna kill me in jail, I'm scared, tengo miedo. Like,
Tengo miedo.
yeah, well, that's what you get for being a crook.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so anyways, yeah. So it's gonna be something like that, you know, and then it's gonna go move on to something like a little bit kind of like reminds me of like a wrestling theme, like. Something like that, you know. Right? And then it's gonna end with like a little bit of like a little maybe like a single note phrase like something like that, you know.
Getting flashbacks to the Avenged Sevenfold concert I went to one time.
So I mean, yeah, essentially that's gonna be like the main melodic themes and ideas that I have in the song, and I again. It's based off of that little scale, and just to finish this, I'm gonna try to play a little flashy thing, and I hope I don't mess up. And if I do, I just edit it so it makes it sound cool. Yeah, so I'm gonna edit that out because it sucked. But essentially, yeah, it's just like. A couple of wrong notes there, but that's kind of like the vibe. You hear kind of that classical little music thing that it's got going on, like that little. You know, something like that. Like,
Yeah.
again, I went off key a little bit there for a couple of notes, but that's the vibe that I want to give this because it sounds kind of like evil and like mysterious. So, anyways, yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this little musical. Interlude, and as soon as we're done with this little conversation, we are gonna play the final version, or the final demo version, because you know what? I was thinking of, like, once we have enough songs, maybe do like an album. Do like release them as like an album, kind of like work on them a little more, and so the versions that I'm play on the episodes will be like the demos, and then eventually you work them into full length songs, you know, 3-4 minutes, whatever, and kind of like do a little compilation greatest hits of exploring the myths behind the legends. What do you think of that idea?
I like that. That's
cool. So having said all that, this is gonna be the, oh by the way, I'm calling, like in our previous segment about the condition that we talked about, I'm gonna call this song the Wendigo Psychosis.
Nice.
So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the work that I've been putting into this song, and like I said, maybe we'll stretch this out into actual songs and release an album. So anyways, here it is. Hope you guys enjoy. Okay, Monica, I feel like we covered some interesting ground tonight in that Wendigo episode. So I want to thank everybody that made it this far, all the listeners. If it's the first time you're here, thanks so much for making it this far into our podcast. If you're a repeated listener, thank you for coming back again and giving us your attention for this extended period of time. We hope you enjoyed our company as much as we enjoy entertaining you out there making this podcast. Shout outs. I do want to give a shout out because that sample that I talked about, the little flute for the song that I'm gonna work on, it was published in the website called looperman.com. I believe the username is, if I'm saying this wrong, please excuse me, sir, Carlos Carti. You know, he's the one that I borrowed that, and these samples are up there for free, so I'm not like stealing his stuff, you know. Like, they're put up there voluntarily, so anyone can use them in their projects. I changed it up a little bit, like I cut up a little piece of it and kind of did like my own thing, but it's his sample, so I want to give him credit for that. Thank you, sir, for inspiring me to use that in my music. And also, I want to give a shout out to our friend Mariah, because she has been having some rough time lately with some family stuff. I just want to wish her a that she feels better soon. I appreciate Mariah a lot. She's done quite a bit of work for us, or promotion on the side and her own website and stuff like that. So I thought I would give her a shout out tonight. I hope she feels better soon.
Speaking of shout outs, I wanna give a shout out to my sister because she showed me a screenshot of her most listened podcast and we're on the list.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Yeah. So thank you for listening, Jesse.
Let's make sure she shares that to everybody she knows.
She put it on her Snapchat, so whoever is on there saw it.
So, reminder for the audience, we do have our Facebook account under Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram is under Myths Behind LGDS.
And our Twitter is Myths Behind LGDS, and you can email us at mythsbehindlegends@gmail.com.
All right, remember that we also have our Linktree, which is also behind or under Myths Behind LGDS. And our website, I forgot to give our website when I announced it at the beginning of the episode. It's kind of a long domain name because I'm using this like free host for now. Mm-hmm. And once things pick up a little more, then we'll actually purchase a domain, I guess. And I'm also going to look into making merchandise, like I mentioned, shirts, keychains, stuff like that. So hopefully that will be brought up sometime in the next few weeks. There's a few guests that I'm trying to convince to come along, and two of them have kind of said yes tentatively, so hopefully they are able to work within their schedule to accommodate for us. But yes, our website, get a pen and paper for this. Okay, so it's myths-behind-legends dot MailChimp, and mail like US mail, like MAIL, mm-hmm, chimp like the animal, .com. I believe that's right. Let me check real quick.
I thought it was gonna be some crazy address. That's not that bad.
It's just super long, and it's because like I tried to change it but it wouldn't let me.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of stuck with that. But once you type it, it'll be saved in your browser, so you can just save it to be your homepage and kind of... But yeah, it's going to be, again, myths-behind-legends.mail-mail-chimp-sites.com. So... I'll link that on our Facebook and on our Twitter and all that stuff because it's kind of like confusing. I think I already confused myself actually. But yeah, anyways, that's going to be the website, and like I said, I'm going to work on that and updating the content, the links and stuff like that. So anyways, yeah, I want to once again thank our listeners for welcoming us into their cars, homes, headphones, bathtubs, whatever it is you guys are hanging out, listening to us. Keep the details to yourself, please. Don't be too explicit, unless your name happens to be Scarlett Johansson. Ah.
Oh, wow.
What about our hint for the next episode, Monica? Do you remember what we're doing next time? We are, again, working on our schedule. So Monica happens to...
I'm really all here, guys. I'm still recovering from, the holidays.
Well, I'll go ahead and do it this time, but basically it's going to be a very popular movie that is set on Christmas time.
Oh, okay.
That deals with creatures that multiply really fast. Let's just say that. Mm. I think mm-hmm. that kind of gives it away, but I mean...
Okay, I know what it is now.
So, yeah.
I can't. I'm the co-host of this podcast and I should know this information, but
well, I didn't know it like firsthand. I had to look into my phone and because I know we're doing that one and then we're doing another movie after that too.
Okay.
And I wanted to make sure that I got them in the right order, but yeah, the next one is going to be the one about those multiplying creatures. Sorry. Alright, so yeah, having said all that, once again, thank you very much to everyone that made it all the way back here to the end of the podcast tonight. Enjoy your evening, day, morning, hangover, whatever it is you're going through. And until then, have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you.